Yesterday we were learning the dinim of Saysed, the malishing. We learned that the biblical prohibition of Saysed, like we elaborated on all various different things, is only when it's demolishing with the intent of building. Otherwise, it's destructive. If it's destructive, so then it's not biblically forbidden, it's only rabbinically forbidden. But sometimes, like the Poskim write, what happens if we learn just like you're not allowed to knock in a nail into the wall, you're not allowed to take out a nail from the wall. So basically, whatever is forbidden to construct, Saysa demolishing is forbidden. If you're allowed to build it, then you can demolish it. If you're not allowed to build it, you can't demolish it. But for instance, what happens if somebody pulls out a nail from the wall that nobody should get hurt? See, there's a nail sticking out of the wall. You don't want anybody to get hurt, so you pull it out. That's already constructive. So that would be chayiv just by pulling it out, even though your intent is not to knock in a nail later in the same place. If you pull out a nail and you want to put in a better nail, because let's say the nail broke, so you want to pull out a nail, the head of the nail broke, so you want to pull it out in order later to put in a better nail, so that's also biblical. But here, just pulling out the nail because you're doing it for something constructive would be forbidden. Okay, so therefore we're learning, whatever you're allowed to do this. Now, any improvement you make to the ground is called construction, like if you build a mound. Therefore, if you take apart a mound, like for instance, outside here, you see all those mounds? If somebody on Shabbos would come and take them off, so that would be demolishing. So it's rabbinic, unless you're planning to do something better there. But it's still rabbinically because you're still demolishing, even though you're not demolishing a structure, but you're still demolishing something that was built as bainim. Now, okay, you can't take rocks or bricks, or let's say another thing. What happens if you have bricks? Somebody made a machitza of bricks, okay? Not glued, but even just put one on top of the next to have a little machitza. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos because you're constructing a wall. To take it apart on Shabbos would also be forbidden because you're taking off what is considered a construction. So that's called demolishing also. By the way, we mentioned last week, and I didn't, I mentioned it, but it wasn't discussed. In Shulchan Aruch it says, can I put up a mechitza on Shabbos? Let's say this would be down, and I would put it up to make a mechitza between men and women. Would it be allowed to be done? And Shulchan Aruch it says, you're allowed to. Why? Because the purpose of a mechitza in a shul is not a wall, it's a separation. In other words, it doesn't have a din of a wall. You have to keep the men and the women separate. So how do you keep the men and the women separate? You make a separation, but it's not a wall. It's a separation between men and women. That's what Alter Rebbe said in Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, you can put up a mechitza, you can take down a mechitza. Obviously, if you have to, we'll learn soon about inserting things very tightly, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. But let's say the frame would be here and the curtains wouldn't be there. And now you need, women are coming to whatever. Now you need to put up the mechitza, the curtains over it, you'd be allowed to. Because Shulchan Aruch says the mechitza between men and women is not a wall to make a mechitza. Like, for instance, if I put bricks outside the building to be able to carry, to make a mechitza 10 tefachim high. So then it wouldn't be allowed to. If I would want to do this to make that I should be allowed to carry outside, let's say, then I couldn't do it because now I'm done in building a wall. And then it wouldn't be allowed. So you can have the same mechitza. If I'm doing it to separate men and women, it's allowed. If I'm doing it to build as a mechitza, to be able to carry, that's a wall, and then I'd be chayiv for building a structure. You could ask, since when do we stay on topic?
What is the requirement of a mechitza to be
a kosher mechitza?
Yeah.
The height of a mechitza or the thickness of a mechitza?
Light, thickness, what you see, what you don't see.
How much of the ladies you will see?
No.
Okay. It's not really off topic because we just discussed about a mechitza. what is the height halachically that you need a mechitza? And what is the thickness or the transparency or lack of transparency of a mechitza? So there's a letter from the Rebbe printed in Lekut HaSichus. The Rebbe writes that a mechitza has to be at least 6 feet. At least 6 feet. Rameisha has a tshuva that it's 18 tfachim. Now, 6 feet is 72 inches. Okay? Now, Rameisha has a tshuva that it's really 18 tfachim is enough. Now, so people are saying, okay, 18 tfachim, 3 inches of tefach, so it's 54 feet. 54 inches, I mean. So that's 4.5 feet, exactly. That's what the measure. But what people don't know is, the same that the measure holds, that a tefach is 4 inches. That they take this leniency and that leniency. If a tefach is 4 inches, 4 times 18 is 72. Okay, so it's not really, you know, he doesn't write that in the tshuva. In the tshuva, he writes 18. Now, the source of a mechitza in shul, what's the source? Where does it originate from a mechitza in a shul? You don't find it in the Gemara, you don't find it. So what's the origin of a mechitza? The origin of the mechitza is from Simchas Beis HaSheva and Sukkos, the 7 days when they danced nonstop in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah Sukkah talks all about it. So over there the Gemara says they made a tikkun gadol. They made a big thing to separate the men and the women, so the women were on top and the men were at the bottom. Okay, that's how they had the festivities. That's, by the way, the source of a mechitza. Now, there's two Rambams that discuss the reason for that. One is that they shouldn't mingle together. And the second reason is that they shouldn't be seeing each other. Okay? Now, that there's a number of issues involved in a mechitza.
Each other or men and women?
No, no. Now, women could see the men. Men can't see the women. In other words, contrary to what people who don't like mechitza scream, why are you keeping the women away from the men? That's an incorrect statement. The purpose of mechitza is to keep the men away from the women, not the women away from the men.
Uh-huh.
What? To keep the women, keep the men away from the women.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Rebbe writes that a mechitza has to be at least 6 feet. Now, this whole concept of a mechitza, you have to keep in mind, is only if there's not other issues involved. Now, for instance, there's a din, you're not allowed to daven opposite nakedness, against edva. Correct? Now, if a woman's hair is not covered, the Gemara says the hair of a married woman is erva, nakedness. So therefore, let's say technically, you have a tall woman, okay? Or even let's say you have a mechitza of 4.5 feet. Or let's say you have a mechitza that's solid at the bottom, a few feet, and then you have glass. Not stained glass, plain glass that you can mamish see through. The other issue over here, yeah, they're separate. But the problem is, you're facing with women coming to shul sleeveless or no hair covering, whatever it is, or a little hair, whatever. But then there's another din besides mechitza, it's a din of erva, of nakedness. You can't daven facing that direction. Okay, that's another issue that has to be kept in mind. Now, what's the thickness of a mechitza? Now, the purpose of a mechitza, like we said, you shouldn't see each other. The man shouldn't get attracted from the women. Like, to keep the men away from the women. So the thickness of a mechitza, basically, the way the big rabbanim say, is that when you look at it, you can't see clearly the person at first glance. Okay? Now, for instance, take this mechitza, yeah? If there's a person on the other side of the mechitza, if I stare, yeah, I'll be able to see eventually who it is. But when you look, with the first glance, you don't see them. That's the thickness of mechitza. Because a guy, if he wants to look at the women, he goes to the women's side and look at them. That's not what the issue is. The issue is that there shouldn't be this mingling or even look mingling between the men and the women.
Why did you go behind?
But you still made a chitza because people turn around too. What?
Turn around by the
lady. He's talking Shabbos morning.
Thank you.
What?
Sometimes, like, the chazan is in the front of the show, and the chitza doesn't go to the chazan or something like that. Is there any obligation or what's considered?
That every case has to be judged individually because is the chazan's standard like? Is it in the men's side or in the woman's side? Let's say this would be the mechitza, yeah? And for davening, you'd put the chazan by that pole in the front. You see what I mean?
On the other side.
No, but he's on... Okay, let's say that would be in between the two. Mm-hmm. You can't have a chazan standing in between the men and the women. Chazan has to be on the men's side, right? Now, if the chazan, let's say, is standing there... So even though the mechitza doesn't go all the way down, the man can't see the women. Now the woman can see the chazan. It's not a problem with the woman seeing the chazan. Therefore, a lot of shuls have one-way mechitzas. They have now, you can get them. It's very difficult. You need perfect lighting for it. That one-way glass. You know, they have that in the court system. They have it in a lot of places. That the women could see the men, but the man can't see the women. What?
What's that have to for in a wedding? Where the
band
can seal the room
of dancing. The heter of that, first of all, a lot of bands from the ones that are Mahmer, but because it's their business, it's their occupation, so they're more concerned about the occupation, just like a male doctor can treat a female patient. What?
You got one in the corner.
Yeah, a male doctor can treat a female. And by the way, it's interesting. The Rebbe writes because officially the Hasidic Hungarian, you know, the Williamsburg guys, those guys, officially the women don't go to male doctors. But the Rebbe writes that by the Rebbeim they were never machmir in that, that they did go men to women, whatever it was, you know, but as long as they behave, you know. But a lot of women, OBGYNs, women are more comfortable going to women anyway, but that's a separate issue. What?
So, the chazan is here, the women shouldn't sit so close, they should be in view of the chazan either.
Why can't they see the chazan?
Well, they can see the chazan can see them too, technically.
1 second. If I turn facing that way, do you see me?
No. I thought I understood from what you were saying before.
Do you see me?
No.
Yeah, I see.
Open your eyes.
I see you, alright, yeah. Yes.
Now, in order for me to see you, I'd have to turn around to look at you. If the chazan's standing here, okay, the women could see him, right?
Right.
Now, if he wants to see the women, he would have to turn around and look. That's not an issue.
But you just said that inevitably you turn around and he can see.
No, it's not officially you're davening turning around sometimes. But here... Yeah, because people turn around and people sit in all directions. So, yeah, they're seeing it. Okay, did that answer your question?
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes, you
are. Okay.
What is the story about some pizza that is not a 6-12?
What's the story?
Some are being...
Are you allowed to daven in that shul? Officially, yes. In other words, let me take another minute to explain another thing. This is what it says in the Tshuva, so don't blame me for what I'm saying. If somebody takes a conservative shul and puts a mechitza in there, or a reform shul and puts a mechitza in, you still can't daven there. Because the shul is a conservative or reform shul. Okay? Let's say you have an official, I mean the bylaws of the shul. Let's say there's an Orthodox shul. Bylaw, it's an Orthodox shul. Okay? but they don't legally have, they don't have officially have a mechitza. They don't have a mechitza. Okay? Now, can a man daven in that shul if there's no women around? Sure. It's an Orthodox shul. Either they don't have a mechitza, so they don't have a mechitza. So when women are there, you can't daven there. Understand? But in a conservative reform shul, you can't daven. Even if you put a mechitza doesn't make it Orthodox or not. So in other words, it depends on the shul. Ideally, a person has to work. Okay, that's not enough.